Hello, and welcome to Living Vertical Radio, where we change the narrative of media by introducing you to creative and innovative individuals that inspire you with their unique stories. Our host is C. Steen Duckworth, and you can call in or Skype into this program by calling 1-646-668-2928 #1. Please make sure your surrounding area is quiet because this is a live program. One Sure Sign Mobile Notary of Frisco, Texas provides professional notary service across the Dallas metro area. Our notary professionals are ready to help you with loan closings, power of attorney, fingerprinting, and other notary services. We meet you at your location of choice, your home, office, hospital, or local coffee shop, convenient to your schedule. Reliable, professional, and affordable. One Sure Sign is happy to support Living Vertical Radio here in Texas. Mention you heard this ad on Living Vertical for $5 off any notary service. Interested in advertising on our podcast with a listening audience of over 800,000? You can do a 15-second business ad, a 30-second radio ad, or a 10-minute interview radio ad. Our prices start out at $50. Contact us at info@verticalmediagroup.com. Our pricing is made to give everyone the ability to advertising no matter the budget. Thank you. And here's your host, C. Steen Duckworth.
Welcome, everyone. This is C. Steen Duckworth, and it's a balmy 101 degrees in Arizona today. Like to thank our sponsor, One Sure Sign Mobile Notary in Frisco, Texas. Thank you for supporting us. Today, I'd like to introduce our guest, who will be Terry Brown. He is the CEO of Armor Bearer Protective Services. Growing up in Detroit, Michigan, Terry Brown learned the importance of integrity, work ethic, and loyalty. His mother, Joyce, and father, Kenneth, were instrumental in the formation and development of these values, preparing him for a life beyond the confines of Detroit. Today, Terry Brown is the CEO of Armor Bearer Protective Services, and his company has safeguarded high net worth individuals across the globe. Clients such as entertainment moguls Kevin Hart and venture capital icons Mark Andreessen and Ben Horowitz entrust Armor Bearer Protective Services to protect them, their families, and their assets. So today, I'd like to introduce to you Terry Brown, and we're going to have a conversation about founding a business, the challenges, growing it, and the successfully to a business in demand. Welcome, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I'm humbled and delighted to be on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on it. I have so many questions for you, especially for our audience as well. So I'd like to get started. Can you give us a little bit about your law enforcement background that kind of, you know, kind of was part is mental in you creating this business?
Yeah, I started off in law enforcement with the Santa Clara County Sheriff's Department here in Northern California, and I went to the academy in 1986. Spent roughly 2 years there and then went on to East Palo Alto Police Department, where I spent another 12 and a half or so years, and went to try my hand in the private sector at the request of a person who I worked with. I wanted to get opportunities in the private sector when I spoke to people and asked people who had kind of an intimate knowledge of who I was and the type of personality I had. They suggested I look into sales. So I hit the private sector in the sales arena, working for a private investigative firm, and found my way over to the other side, which is security.
Okay. So tell me, how did you, you know, the concept and the name Armor Bearer, how did you come up with that name?
Oh, wow. That's That's always a great story for me. You know, every time, you know, I've started maybe three or four businesses, and every time when I wanted to start a business, I honestly went down on my knees and asked God and prayed about it. You know, give me a name, mm-hmm. something that's going to glorify Him. And He came up with the name Armor Bearer. Interesting enough, years before, I went with I was part of a church in the Bay Area under the tutelage of Paul Shepherd, Pastor Paul Shepherd. And he sent me and a couple other guys to Boston to train under Armor Bearers. I knew nothing about Armor Bearers. And, mm-hmm. you know, of course, when you go when you train, you know, they teach you about the things that Armor Bearers did in biblical days. And, you know, they were the ones that brought the king supplies and weapons to the battlefield, and they supported the king, protected the king. And if the king died in battle, because it was a calling, a lot of them would fall on their sword. They had no other purpose in life because it was a calling, a higher purpose. So mm-hmm. I thought, wow, that would be great. And so I came up with the name. Well, God came up with the name of Armor Bearer. And we just attached protective services to it, of course.
Yeah, when we were sitting in our meeting as we were preparing the program, and I was introducing you to my staff, and I said, well, this is who we're going to be talking to. And I said, the name of the company is Armor Bearer. And they were like, whoa. Like, whoa, that's powerful. I was like, right? Well, yeah, so...
Well, you know, we hope we live up to the name every time. So we've been in business for 15 years. So, you know, we do the very best we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we were looking for a tagline, and one of the staff said, oh, like, that's such a powerful name. What do we say? And then we came up with, you know, the ideal of an armor bearer, that you are protecting the legacies of world changers, and it just made it even more powerful. So we were like,
wow,
we were like, okay,
good.
You can't just, yeah, right. We're like, wow,
I might have to steal that.
You might have to steal that. So we were talking about, like, you know, when you got that concept and the armor bearer. So I mean, it's a powerful. It just makes your purpose, you know, for your business even stronger. So what did you learn from your time in Palo Alto that added to a training point at Armor Bearer, something that you may have accomplished or that you learned? Because at the time, like you said, it was the murder capital of the world, of the U.S.
You know, anytime you get into a situation, and it's a tough situation, East Palo Alto in the 80s, and at least early in the 90s, was a very, very tough, difficult place to work. It was, like you say, we were the murder capital in 92. But, you know, when you're talking about the murder capital, that doesn't include people who were violently assaulted, either with weapons or whatever. But those murder capital, those are people who died. I mean, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of other people that were assaulted. And so we were really busy. We used to kind of tease ourselves and say that we were mobile secretaries, because mm-hmm. a lot of times you find yourself just writing paper and that's it. But, you know, one of the things that in that situation it taught me, number one, that I can do a job like that, whether you're talking the public or private sector. And, you know, with all the stakes, you know, against you, you know, you learn a lot about yourself in terms of fear. And for me, it was just one of those things that every time I answered the bell. And so it gives me a lot of resolve in the private sector, because in the private sector, you really, a lot of times you're by yourself. You may have one other person. Some people are fortunate enough to have a team with them. But most of the mm-hmm. jobs in the private sector, you're working alone. So working in a situation like that, like East Palo Alto, you learn to pay attention to your instincts. You learn to flexible, in what you're doing. You learn to assess things very quickly, and you learn to do things, a lot of different things, kind of multitasking, and and still pay attention to your environment. But people are out there trying to hurt you, and so it gives you a little bit of confidence, you know, that you can handle things under stressful conditions. East Palo Alto was very stressful, and so I did that, and I applied some of those same things in the private sector.
Okay. So what were the business and personal challenges in building Armor Bearer?
Personal challenges, when you're building a business initially, at least for me, in my start, trying to build a business like Armor Bearer, we're personal protectors. We're consultants. We don't do uniform-related jobs or take those type of details. So it's very difficult to find, if you haven't been in the industry. I didn't have any experience in the industry of doing personal protection. And so you have to, number one, you have to get educated. You have to educate yourself. Number two, you have to go and get training. But I didn't have experience in it. So it wasn't like I had people who saw me and said, hey, we want you to do this for us. So for me, it was very difficult to get clients. So I spent months, you know, trying to get clients. And it wasn't easy initially. And, you know, I distinctly remember my wife coming to me and saying, hey, look, you know, you don't have anything coming in. You got 6 months to make this work. And if it doesn't, you got to get a job. Well, the problem with entrepreneurship is that's my dream and my vision. So even the people that's closest to me had a very difficult time understanding what that vision and that dream was. They didn't know what I knew. I believed in myself. I put all the bets on me. And so, and that's fine because I'm my best cheerleader, but you just have to, I was focused and I was just going to not take no for an answer. And I wasn't going to give up. And so I didn't, and it worked out for me.
How do you go about finding your clients?
Finding clients, unfortunately, we can't go on, you know, you can go online and put ads out and educate people as to who you are, you know, with the marketing campaign. But a lot of what we do comes from word of mouth or someone seeing you work and they like the way you move or they like the way you look or they like you in certain situations and they come to you that way. But it's really kind of a personal discipline, and people either are going to be referred to you, or for the most part, or you know, they're going to see you and they're going to want to have a conversation.
So you're actually going to you're hitting up the very how do I say this? Well, specific individuals, because you are a protective type service. And I heard you in another interview and it's like, not security service, protective service. And I was like, that is such a specialized field. So I can see where it is more word of mouth, and I can see where it is targeting specific businesses or executives as clients.
Yes, it's definitely, and I think I know what you're talking about with the interview. I really hate to be referred to as a security guard because I think it minimizes, you know, my level of education and experience. So, you know, I don't have anything against security guards, of course, but you're looking at close to nearly 35 years of experience. So, but yeah, it is one of those types of things that you know, you try to, as much as you can, be critical of your client, of the selection of your clients, because they're critical with their selection of you. So again, we're a boutique protection firm. So we're selective of our clients because we want to make sure that, number one, they need help in terms of, you know, their security or safety. Two, they can afford us. It's a pretty expensive service. And the other thing is their movements, their habits, their behaviors have to line up with who we are as a company.
Right.
So if it's not a good, just like internally, you know, you work hard to build a really good culture, but we have to look at our clients to determine whether or not they're going to fit our culture as well. We don't have to fit in with them, but it has to be a good match.
Right. So have you walked away from clients because they didn't line up with that? Or how did you handle that?
I have. A lot of times, you know, one of the things I tell my clients is that, you know, my job is to put people to work. And I can't put people to work by doing a one-time detail or something that's going to be there for a week or a month. You know, I'm looking to change other people's lives and their family's lives. So that's my give back to the community, is to put people to work. So you know, you have to look at what their financial situation is, and, you know, is it something they can maintain and carry on? And if not, I have to either refer, you know, walk away and refer them to someone, or wait till they're ready. And they pretty much people know when they're ready. You know, sometimes it's, you know, take a long time to pull the trigger, but, you know, no pun intended, but, it takes them a while sometimes, but I always spell it out fully so they understand what that commitment is. One of the things I tell them is, you know, develop a budget for it, you know, so that you understand that money is going to be there. So because I have people that rely on me, and they have families that rely on them. So, yeah, I've definitely walked away from people because I thought it wasn't a good fit, you know, either culturally or financially. And you know, and that's okay. Those things happen.
So as a business owner, what are your top three priorities now?
Development, and that's really development for us on the inside. We want to get better. We want to be better than we were yesterday. Second thing is growth. Growth in terms of how we, or the services that we give to our clients. So that's not necessarily putting a person out there. That might be for us to be better consultants. It may not be for us to make money from our client, but refer them to someone who's an expert in that area that they need help in. So you have to be okay being a consultant and referring someone else who's better at something than you are.
So,
and the third thing for us is probably try to be, how can I say this? I like to think outside the box, but stay in my lane. So how can we provide a service to our client and still be, you know, in something that's cutting edge? So that creative thinking is what my top priority, one of the top priorities for me.
So now you have, I looked on your site at your team members. Will Goldsboro is your CEO. Tom Solit is your chief strategy officer. Dylan Freeman, your security operations manager. So how do they exemplify the mission of Armor Bear?
All of them work hard. They're all dependable, trustworthy, loyal. That alone, those things alone, really exemplifies who we are as a company.
Okay. So now I was looking at, if someone wanted to come to you and become part of your team, I was reading where you said that your company evaluates applicants on intangible traits that can't be seen on their resume. So what type of traits are you looking for, or do you look for in an applicant that comes and wants to work for Armor Bear?
You know, it's funny. I'm pretty sure this is something that's consistent throughout. A lot of people think that being a bodyguard, in layman's terms, means that you come with some sort of fighting experience, maybe mm-hmm. even tactical experience from, you know, law enforcement or whatever. I look for the soft skills. I look for someone who has manners. I look for someone who knows how to sit at a table and pick up the right fork. I'm looking for someone who's educated. And when I say educated, someone who has at least a four-year degree. That's important mm-hmm. to me because I believe that to do this job takes a level of intelligence to do it right. And I think that, you know, it requires you to have developed critical thinking skills. And so mm-hmm. I think that, you know, you can't get that in high school. It's something that is developed, you know, at the post-education level. I think that there's a misconception of what bodyguards are. You know, people think okay. that my job is to engage. That's not my job. My job is not to engage. My job is to get my client out of harm's way. Our model of protection is much like the Secret Service. Secret Service is a law enforcement agency, but, mm-hmm. you know, we try to do our homework, do the work on the front end, so that when we walk into a situation, we understand clearly what the particulars are. I don't want to go too far into it, but what the particulars are, what, you know, we're not walking into an environment blindly. We know who's going to be there. We know what type of people is going to be there. We know what the number of people. And so we know exactly. So if something happens, you know, where it's critical, we can get our client away from harm safely. But our job okay. is not to engage. Our job is to keep our client out of harm's way.
Okay. And that takes me to preparation. When you're preparing to protect a new client, how many hours are involved? Because I would say that as to what we're talking about, the service that you provide is something where, as you said, you don't want to really be kind of out there in the front. You kind of want to blend in, and depending where you're going to be protecting this person, what type of, how many hours does it take you to do that type of evaluation to understand where you're going to be?
It's actually an ongoing thing. So initially what we try to do, a biographical survey on the client, a dossier, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we try to get as much information about the individual that we can, all the personal information, all the professional information, all the family information, their habits. You know, people, we go on the internet and we see what is out there on our clients to determine how exposed they are. We talk to associates. We do a myriad of things so that we can put together a complete 360-degree profile of what is out there and what this person is exposed to. Then we do a threat assessment, you know, and so, okay. mm-hmm. You know, to try to determine who, if there's a threat, a direct threat, indirect threat, threat or perceived threat. So mm-hmm. That, all of that can take weeks. You know, and but even once you sign the client, you're still learning additional things about them, mostly their habits, mostly people who come in contact with them either consistently or sparingly, you know,
okay.
what types of environments they like to attend. So it's really an ongoing thing. I call it the honeymoon phase, where you're trying okay. to learn as much about your client as you can. And that can take a while because you're really building that trust. And so building that trust is tough. You know, people don't open up to you or they don't let you see things until they trust you.
Right. Okay. Now, you do have a global presence. What does that presence look like in terms of maybe different types of protection that is needed?
Yeah, in terms of how we go about protecting our clients?
Well, global, when you having a global presence, does that, do you, I know you have a partnership with, like, let's say Dream Flights International, shout out to Anthony Thurston. Mm-hmm. Do you, when you're saying you have a global presence, does that mean that you actually have, or you have people available in different parts of the world to help clients where they might be going, or do you just have someone that you assign to them here in the U.S. and they just travel with them?
Yeah, so it's twofold. I mean, it's you know, I'm a part of a network. You know, been in as long as I have, you start to develop relationships with people, especially if you've been all over the world. I've been all over the world three times over. So you begin to develop relationships with people, and then you start to develop your network of people that you can call on. The other thing, like you mentioned, Dream Flights, you know, one of the things that is great for us is that I'm a partner in Dream Flights International. And like you said, Anthony Thurston, people don't understand, this guy is almost like a guru in the private jet brokerage firm industry. Mm-hmm. And so we have that aspect that we can provide air transportation, private air transportation to our clients, as well as ground transportation worldwide.
Okay. Which I think, personally, you know, I've been looking at other business and wonder why more businesses don't partner. Is there a benefit in, do you think there's more of a benefit in collaborating and partnering with other companies rather than having all of that within your own company?
It depends on the individual's needs. Like for us, a collaboration might be for a larger project where you're going to need people, you know, just for the sake of discussion, you know, in other countries who know the lay of the land, they know the law, they know law enforcement and the benefit of having someone, because when I travel abroad, it's things that we're restricted from. You know, some places you go, you can't have radio. Some places you go, you can't have firearms. We carry weapons. And so you have people on the ground who can do that. So, you know, depending on the type of detail or the function, yeah, you're going to need to develop partnerships with other companies, other individuals, and other resources to service the client, depending on what their needs are.
You know, that's interesting that you just said that. I never really thought about that. You would need to know whatever the requirements are in different countries, and some countries do not allow guns. So that's an interesting thing to bring up right there. I heard you on a broadcast, What We Can't Reveal, We Can't Heal. And you were talking about the culture of the current police force. How do you maintain a culture within Armor Bearer?
You know, I manage the way I want to be managed. It's really simple arithmetic. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Yeah, and you know, what we try to do as well, and that's the simplest, you know, version of it. The other thing is, you have to kind of talk to people and understand what their needs are. I firmly believe that money is not the single motivating factor why someone leaves or stays with you. You have to give them something to stay. You have to empower them. You know, give them, you know, something that they feel like they're a part of. And so, and it's not, you know, you're just trying to develop people. You know, obviously everyone wants to develop leaders, but everyone is not a leader. But everyone has to be able to feel like they have a place there. So whether they have a voice, whether they have an opportunity to, you know, for Educational pursuits, you know, we encourage our employees all the time, you know, hey, go get trained, you know, can we help you with that? You know, what do you want to, you know, we ask them, what do you want to do with your career? You know, some people look at it as a job. We try to get them to understand, look at it as a career, you know, and we know we're going to get a better person from it.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
And let me say this one last thing. In this industry, people make really good money, you know, so, but that's not enough. That's not enough, you know, so for us is, you know, we look at things that we can do to inspire people and, for that, it can be training, give them something, like I say, give people something they can be proud of.
Okay, great. I like that. So what piece of advice would you give to someone starting out in just a business? Let's just say, you know, probably one of the biggest things you've learned as being a business owner, what piece of advice would you give to someone just starting out a business?
I love the quote that Eleanor Roosevelt said when she said, don't let someone tell you no who don't have the ability to tell you yes. You know, I mean, because people are going to tell you no all the time. When I first was putting together the framework for Armor Bearer, someone told me, hey, call this guy in LA, he's doing the same thing you want to do, talk to him. I said, okay, so I called this guy, and on the phone, he told me. He asked me, what do you want to do? I said, I want to do personal protection. You know, I think I may have told him executive protection. And he said, okay. And I said, That's it. I just want to do personal protection. He said, what do you mean? He said, you can't do that by itself. You got to do uniform. You got to do events and things like that. I said, okay. I was respectful. And I hung up the phone. I thanked him for his time. I hung up the phone because I'm not going to allow someone to tell me what they think I should be doing, because they don't really know me, you know? So because they don't know me, they don't know what I'm capable of, you know? So I just don't let people tell me what I can't do. I figure that out for myself. And so, I think that the other thing is, I think as an entrepreneur, you have to do the small things consistently. So it's things you have to do every single day consistently. You know, so that because we're the industry I'm in is a detail oriented industry. So you have to read every day, learn a little bit more about your industry. You know, make a phone call to a mentor and talk to them and see what type of advice they give. But there's things that you have to do consistently. Understand where you are financially at all times. What is your financial picture today? You know, versus yesterday, you know, so those is things you have to do, the small things every single day and be consistent with it. So don't let anyone tell you can't, and be consistent in what you do. And I'll say a third thing, you have to work extremely hard, be the hardest worker in your company. I venture to say, if you talk to everyone in my company, Terry is the hardest worker in the company.
Okay. So I also want to, I know we talked about the protector, but I also want to talk about, give us some information about the other services you provide and how people can contact you.
The other services, like I said, we're a consulting firm as well. We also have a arm within the umbrella of the corporation. We're private investigators, and we have a training academy as well. The best way to contact us is you can do it through social media, you know, at Armor BPS, and or our telephone number is 1-833-MY-ABPS-4. That's 1-833-692-2774.
Perfect. Thank you, Terry.
They can go to our website as well, too.
Right. And so what is the future of Armor Bearer at this point? What do you see in the future for your company?
You know, definitely hopefully is bright, but for us, I think, and I, and speaking for our executive team, you know, we want to be game changers. Personally, let me say this. I'm on a journey of trying to affect change, whether that's in my community, here domestically in the U.S. or globally. I just want to affect change. I want my life to mean something. For Armor Bearer, we're trying to build a legacy that will live beyond my lifetime. Okay, so what does that mean? I don't know. The future is, I think, is bright for us. I think we're doing a lot of things. But again, Will quoted this tagline for us. He said he wants us to be agents for change. So that's what we're shooting for. We don't know what that means. That, I don't know if that's our purpose at that point, but we're going to shoot for it. We may miss it, but we'll hit the stars.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any last words that you might that we may not have covered, Terry, that you'd like to tell everyone that's listening?
Just I'm humbled, you know, by being on your show, having an opportunity to speak and speak to the listeners. I appreciate the support for Armor Bearer Protective Service. Please go to our website. Tell us what you think. If you have any questions about your personal safety, the safety of others, security, give us a call. We'll be more than happy to sit down with you and talk to you. And we won't try to sell you anything. We just want everyone to feel safe and secure.
Perfect. Thank you, Terry Brown, CEO of Armor Bearer Protective Services. You'll be able to hear this broadcast to our listeners, and we'll also have a piece in Vertical Life magazine. So we will be sharing this broadcast, and definitely our supporters that are listening, please share this broadcast as well, so we can introduce Terry Brown to our world. Thank you, Terry, for being on Living Vertical Radio.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Team Vertical, for putting this program together. We appreciate you. If you like more information about Armor Bearer Protective Services, we will be posting that information for you as well as in the magazine. And again, you can find their website at armorbps.com, or you can find them at Facebook at armorbps. This again has been Celeste Duckworth. Stay tuned for our next program next week, when we'll have CEO Laura C. Bullock of Hope's Crossing in Phoenix, Arizona, and our conversation will be about the course correction that we believe that's happening right now today. Thank you again. This has been Living Vertical Radio, and we appreciate you. Hope to see you again next week.